What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
So today's episode is coming from a suggestion from one of our listeners, Caitlin.
Yes. Caitlin, thanks for recommending this. What a great idea. We're going to be discussing long-distance relationships and how to survive them and get through them and tips and why they might not work and all of our personal experiences with them.
Totally. Yeah.
So. I, in the spirit of our topic today, found some great quotes for Quotable.
Hit them.
Oh, hit them on hard. Me. All right, ready for this?
I'm slapping my arm. Give them to me. Let's go.
All right. In many ways, the art of love is largely the art of persistence. Albert Ellis.
Huh.
This sounds like a stalker.
I was just going to say, I was like, I'll be honest, that one rubs me the wrong way.
We don't like that one?
I don't like that.
Yeah, all right.
I'm getting a lot of douchey guys in the club that won't take no for an answer.
Exactly.
Like, dance. No, get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you think about it in terms of a long distance relationship,
sure.
Like just persisting, never giving up. But yeah, no, you could frame that different way. It's
totally.
It's like around Christmas when someone turns on that song. Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh yeah,
and you're like,
so rapey.
So rapey.
Good lord,
Kyle turned that on like a week ago, and I was like, oh, this is like, kind of, you know, this song's like kind of rapey. He's like, really? I was like, oh,
isn't it fun?
Oh,
when
the life you've led.
Yeah, I love when somebody hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah,
to like listen to it through that lens, because once you do, you can never hear it the other
you
way.
Can
you're like,
never hear
oh
it the
my
other
god,
way.
Oh, no,
that used to
is
be a
the
really
date rape song. That's what it should be called.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, hit us with a better quote.
This
Taylor.
Is a better one.
You failed on the first.
I started.
Time, but,
I started with a.
But you know,
I
appreciate why you were reading that one.
Yeah, I get it.
In my long distance relationships, that's totally like the mindset you have to have.
Yeah, just keep going. In true love, the smallest distance is too great, and the greatest distance can be bridged. Hans Nguyen's? Nguyen's?
Wait, say that one again.
Yeah. Says, in true love, the smallest distance is too great, and the greatest distance can be bridged.
Mm.
Huh.
That's sweet.
That's nice.
Yeah, like if you're really in love, being away, even like a short distance is horrible.
Yeah.
But also, no matter how far away it is, you're gonna make it work.
Yeah. No, I was away from Cam for one night recently. Oh, when we went to Phoenix, we were away for one night.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had been gone for so long, and I just like couldn't wait to get home to see him.
Really?
Like,
see, that's interesting. I'm glad
down,
you said
Delaney.
That.
Yeah. But yeah, really, like I really feel it. Like once you get used to seeing somebody a lot and you live with them, it's like it is a weird thing if you're not laying next to them.
Yeah.
It feels strange.
Oh man.
Okay, I've saved the best for last.
Okay, great. Good.
I feel like this one's really gonna.
Okay.
This one's really
I'm ready to be wowed.
I'm excited.
Okay. Absence sharpens love, presence strengthens it.
That's a good one. Okay.
Sharpen.
Yeah. That should have been the only one read on this episode.
I know.
Yeah.
You're okay. I'm sorry. No, I thought at least I did it in like ascending order where I was like, this one's probably the weakest. Rule of threes. Yeah. Comedy. Yeah. Could I have just hit that one really hard and pieced out on a mic drop? Yeah. But I like to see the journey someone goes through to really find something.
That was much like a long distance relationship, that entire quote experience. Yeah. This is good.
I'm gonna read it one more time. Absence sharpens love, presence strengthens it. Thomas Fuller.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that.
And sometimes you go too long, gets too sharp, and pokes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freaking dagger to the heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so don't let it get too sharp.
No.
Dangerous.
So we have some segments. Oh my God.
Sure have some segments. You guys want to kick it off with your segments?
Probably we should kick it off because I think you're the only one with the positive one.
Yeah.
Kelsey, you want to start off?
No. Well, mine's a defuck because as we're recording this, I woke up about 15 minutes ago and really fucked over the podcast. And I don't think I've had this happen before. Maybe since like high school or something like that, where you like don't hear your alarm and you all of a sudden you have to get to class. But this has been a really long time. This birth control has totally messed up the way I feel, and it puts me into like some of the deepest sleeps I've ever had. And I just walk around like even during the day feeling kind of out of it. And I woke up to Taylor and Delaney knocking on our front door and coming in and being like, hey, where's Kelsey? We're supposed to podcast. And I immediately burst into tears and was like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on with me? Like, why? I just am such a mess, you guys. And so anyway, we're here now recording, but I feel horrible. I've never done something like this.
Oh, dude, yeah. We just want to make sure you were okay. Yeah. We started spiraling. That's what happened. Yes. We were just like, let's
because
let her sleep.
Because it's so unlike
also,
me.
Yeah, it's unlike me to show up.
And Kane wasn't answering the phone either. Yeah. He was also asleep. And we hadn't, neither of you had posted anything since
we hadn't heard yesterday from you since afternoon. Yeah,
we were they probably drove to a show. We just want to make sure we were gonna check and make sure their car was there. Yeah. Like we were just.
Sorry. I'm okay. So
okay. We're just glad that you're okay because we were like, okay, let's just check if the car's there. We'll just let them sleep.
Yeah.
No.
And we'll just go home.
No.
But then we had spiraled too long.
You wake my ass up and you're like, bitch, get out here. You have a job. I'm just so mad at myself. I can't wait for this detox to be done.
Yeah.
Like you don't realize. Not to like freak anybody out who's on the pill, because the pill is, you know, great and does a lot of great things, but like, shit, it is in you for a while, and it's a process of getting all this out of me. And anyway, I'm just so sorry. So that was my defuck. Yeah. And then the other thing that happened that was also kind of like a first for me was that there have been so many horrible things in the news lately with more shootings, and the shooting that happened in Thousand Oaks was so close to where we all live. And Kane and I went to the movies last night to see A Star Is Born, and movies have always, I mean, like in the last couple years, I always kind of have it in the back of my mind that you feel a little bit vulnerable in there because it's dark and you're kind of like enclosed, and there have been shootings in theaters already. And during the previews, I looked over and there was a guy, just a guy by himself, maybe in like mid 40s, 50s, wearing a black coat, just standing on the stairs watching the previews like he wouldn't sit.
That
would make me uncomfortable.
And then after like two previews, he finally sat, and he sat at the like the last seat at the end of our row just by himself. And I just thought that was so strange because I kept thinking like, oh, maybe he's like waiting for somebody and that's why he's not sitting down. And then he like just ended up being there by himself, and he's wearing that like big coat, and I just spiraled, and I was sitting there next to Kane, and I was like, I'm feeling really like panicky right now that guy is like suspicious or doing something weird. And he's like, okay, we can go if you want to go. Like,
yeah,
I'll just get the tickets refunded and we'll just go.
Yeah.
And it was this fight in my mind between like letting fear take over and like potentially keeping myself safe. And all it's such a horrible time we're living in with the gun safety stuff, because you just feel like nowhere is safe, and it's you just want to be able to go out to the movies and enjoy your night. And it took me probably like a solid 20-30 minutes to actually calm down and just get into the movie and enjoy it and tell myself like, hey, just stick it out. I don't want to be somebody that like doesn't leave the house because they're too afraid.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a I hadn't really felt that way before, where I was actually almost into like a panic attack where I was like not breathing in all the way, and my shoulders were like to my ears. Like when I finally let myself calm down, it was like, wow, my shoulders have been up so far. You know what I mean? Where you feel your body melt more. Yeah, so that was scary.
Yeah. Yep. I think everyone feels like that right now. I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording, but like Delaney and I went for a walk around our neighborhood last night, and there was a guy,
so freaky dude,
that came running at us full speed
in the dark.
Yeah. Oh my god! And he got up really close to us because it was dark, and he was just like a young kid.
Yeah.
And once he got up to us, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we thought you were our friends."
Yeah.
And we were like, "Oh no, we're not.
No, this
like,
is just our nightmare." I literally said outside out loud, "No, this is just our nightmare."
Yeah, she did.
Oh my god! Because that was what's on my head.
Yeah.
And I was so relieved that nothing bad was happening too.
Yes, because like, it was full, just jogging straight at us. Yeah. It was like, oh, okay, like he's just gonna jog by us, and then it, you know, scary. I had a similar moment on when I got back from Mexico this week. I was on the shuttle going back to Lot C at LAX, and I was the only one on it. Like he stopped at every terminal, and nobody got on. And it was just like, it was like an older guy. He's probably like my dad's age, but like, I don't like, there's just like, I don't trust to be alone with any guys right now, like any men who could overpower me. So I'm just like, okay. And it was fine. Like it would have been fine. But the whole way going back to the lot, I was just like, oh my gosh, like what if he just drives somewhere else? Like I'm the only, I've never been alone on something. So I was just like, I don't know. And like, you know, I've never felt like, which is not true actually. I think I've gotten a lot and other people have gotten off before me.
Yeah.
But even that makes me nervous if there's just me and like one other guy, and like I'll wait for him to get off first, so I'm not just getting off in a dark parking lot with a guy. You know? So like as soon as we got back to the lot, I was just like, oh, just let me out here. And I just like walked really far because I just feel so skittish right now.
Yeah.
Just like I don't trust anybody not to hurt me or do something crazy.
Yeah, it just puts you in a, when awful things are happening, it just puts you in like, kind of like a perpetual panic state without you even, you're just hyper aware of your surroundings, which is not a bad thing, but it's a little much. It takes a while to kind of come down after each awful thing that happens.
Yeah.
Well, and as women, we're already having that happen when we're by ourselves outside. Yeah. We're just like super aware and already a little heightened, and so when these things happen, it is just so awful and so scary. And anyway, our hearts go out to everybody.
Yeah, my defuck, I mean, I've kind of mentioned it already, but if you guys were watching my Instagram this week, you know what happened. But my suitcase basically disappeared at the airport in Mexico when I was supposed to be on vacation with my family for like 5 days. And I ended up flying back early because that, and on top of it, I got sick. And just like hit a wall and was super burnt out. And like, and we like tried to find the suitcase at first. We were like, oh, it probably just went somewhere different. It's fine. Like it's, and then after like 3 hours there, we talked to like so many different people. We talked to like probably like 6 different people, and they were all telling us kind of different things. And there were these two guys that were like, yeah, we're looking at the security footage, and we're like, well, can we go look at it? Cause somebody else told us we could. And they were like, you can't look at it, but we're looking at it, so it's fine.
Geez,
so they were like, and then they just kept saying like, it'll be another 20 minutes, but just go back to the hotel. They just kept trying to get us to leave.
Get
like,
rid of you guys.
Yeah, which like, and then we talked to a different guy after, they said it'll be like 10 more minutes, then they disappeared for 45. And we talked to a different guy who was like, yeah, they're watching security. Somebody took your bag. They're going to come back and talk to you.
My God.
So they basically told us like, yeah, someone stole it. And then that, the first guy that helped us, we were like, does this happen a lot? Like, he was like, someone might've taken it. And we're like, does that happen a lot? He was like, yeah. And we're like, do you ever find it? And they're like, no. And the attitude of just everybody was kind of like, yeah, like shit happens.
Like you came to Mexico, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Which like, part of me was like, wow, this is showing me how privileged I am. Because like at the end of the day, you know, yeah, your vacation's ruined, but like you lost a suitcase. Like it's all replaceable. You didn't lose a person. Like shit happens.
It's still horrible though.
It sucks, like, but sucks. Like, sucks. You know, yeah. How long are you going to stay mad at it? I mean, I got a call this morning from some guy who said, "Oh, we have your bag. You lost a bag, right? We have your bag. It's at this other place that's apparently 30 minutes from where my parents are staying. And they're like, we have it here. And so if you want to come get it or whatever. But, and I was like, well, how did that even happen? They're like, oh, it must have just gotten put in the wrong car back to the hotel or whatever.
Something's weird.
Which I was like, okay, if that were the case, though, because that's what I thought happened at first. I was like, well, that's what happened. Right. And I was like, just watch the security cameras so we can see which car it got put into.
Right.
So we can call that hotel or whatever. And so when they wouldn't show us, I was just like, oh, something happened. And they're like, tough shit. Like, we can't do anything about it. Because I'm not even saying it was like the resort or whatever. It just, someone at the airport just, you know, probably went by and snatched it and it's fine. But he was saying like, oh, it got put in the wrong thing. But that was 3 full days ago that that would have happened. So I was like, if it went to the wrong place, surely you would have noticed like, oh, that's not any of our suitcase. Like, okay, we'll call. Because my number's on it. That's how they called me.
Right.
Yeah. I think my address might be on it too, which part of me is like, well, then ship it. But
you don't know if there's anything in it.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I don't know if anything's in it.
I would just take
the suitcase.
Yeah.
Because the suitcase was expensive. I've been using the suitcase since I went full time doing comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, oh. But I was texting my parents this morning about it. And at this point, I kind of feel like, you know what? It's already taken up so much of their trip to worry about this.
Yeah.
And I've already accepted that it's gone. And like, yeah, there's stuff in there that it sucks that I lost, but you know, I didn't lose any credit cards. I didn't bring my laptop. Thank God.
Thank God I didn't bring my laptop.
Yeah. Cause that stuff would have been horrible, but like, you know, it's not worth like risking someone in my family, like going to some place to meet some person. Like anybody could call. It's on my
good point.
The tags on my thing. So
good point.
I thought about it and I was just like, don't even, like, unless the resort will like send somebody to go get it.
Yeah.
Or they can bring it over. Like
the whole thing is just kind of shady.
Yeah.
I'm just so sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. But you just and you don't want to be that like shitty. I felt weird about vacationing there anyway. It was like my parents' idea to go. And like right now, just like with how the country is, like you feel like so weird as, you know, just like a privileged white person, like going to vacation in Mexico.
Yeah.
But with like, hey, sorry, we elected Trump. Like, you know, with my parents who like Trump, like, you know, so it almost feels like disrespectful in a weird way.
Right.
To be like, oh, we're just going to go have a fun 5 days. But I would have handled it better, I think, if I hadn't spent 3 nights on an airplane.
Oh,
but I was already getting sick. I didn't feel like, I mean, all I did yesterday was lay in bed. That was my treat yourself. I got home and I just laid in bed all day. But I was like, I got home and Kyle's in London and my family's in Mexico. And so it's not like I got to come home and like see my boyfriend. Like it's not like, you know, I felt sick. I didn't feel like I was going to go. I turned down a bunch of work to go on that trip. Like I just felt like my body had shut down on me again and there was nothing I could do. And it was just like the universe conspiring to get me to stay put for a few days.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, what did you, you should say what you told me on the phone, because I thought that was pretty, like, I don't know, kind of a big aha moment where you were like, I'm not enough to take time for.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I even forgot I said that. But I realized, like, I'm willing to take time off if it means I can see my family. Like, I'll take time off around Christmas to, like, go to my parents' house for a few days. But that's even, like, a commitment. That's not doing nothing. Or like, I'll take time off so I can see Kyle. I'll take time off so I can, you know, see best friends of mine. But if I'm just, there's no time that I feel like, okay, I just need to do nothing for 2 days. There's never a time that I feel like, okay, you're worth taking time off. Like, you just, your body needs to rest. Yeah. That never feels like enough for me. Cause I'm like, what's the point? Just going to go be alone. But, you know, and I just get scared of being depressed. And like, I explained it this way to, was I talking to you about this? Where I said, like, it's hard because I feel like when I'm at home with people I love, like, I feel like there's a rope tied around my waist and it's always like, I'm always being pulled into a hole. Yeah. And when I'm home, like with people I love and comfortable, I can like, or even if I'm somewhere and having great shows and I'm okay, like I can like run from, I can get pretty far from the hole. But then as soon as I go back on the road and I'm alone, it just starts like pulling me back again. And then depending on how close I get to it, like it gets more and more important for me to take some time off so that I can run away from it. It's like, did you ever see that scary movie, It Follows, where like something's always following you and you can, but it always just walks. It's always just walking. Oh, it's so creepy. It always just walks. It can look like anything. And there's always just, so there's always just like a figure walking towards you.
Oh,
and
God.
You could take a plane across the country and it would take a while to get to you, but it will show up eventually.
Oh,
but you
God,
have,
that gives
like,
me so much. That's horrible.
Isn't
what
that
scary
movie?
That's
how like depression feels to me. That it's like always kind of coming at me.
Yeah.
From varying degrees of distance.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I was really feeling that yesterday. And just with the month coming up, I'm home for like 4 days. And so part of me is like just living in this place of dread with all of that.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. It's
it's not okay.
Figuring
I know
it
it's not. I tried to talk her into like if there are anything she could cancel.
I know. I've tried.
And
next year is.
Next year, I'm telling you, you need to book that downtime like it's work. Mm-hmm. Like your only job next year is to trick yourself into booking as much downtime and nothingness as possible.
Yeah, you're right.
And that should be your full-time job, is trying to be like, okay, what things am I going to go to? Because like, you know, I want to maintain a certain income or whatever.
Yeah.
But everything else should be like, how can I not do nothing as much as possible? And that's the thing is like, you are worth taking the downtime. Like when you were even last night when you were saying like, you know, well, you know, Kyle's not here, so kind of like, what's the point? Like, why come home early? Like, you're here.
Yeah.
You're here. You know?
Yeah.
You get to take the time and do what you want to do. What the hell do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know?
We forget we have a relationship with ourselves.
Exactly.
So even if we're by ourselves, it's like, well, but you get to be with you.
Exactly. You need to treat yourself like you're the fucking love of your life.
Yeah.
And you get to spend as much alone time with that person as possible and take care of her.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh.
Well, speaking of treating yourself well.
I know, I feel bad. Like, you guys, I'm doing really great. Like, part of me feels bad.
No, that's why we end with you.
Someone's got to be doing great. Jesus, we need it.
Man. So I have just some, you know, more good shit. You know.
Good job, Delaney.
The second week in a row working from home. And I'm just like, I wake up kind of like in a freaking days of happiness because it just feels so good and so right. Mm-hmm. And I have time to actually like take care of myself. I woke up and did yoga before I did anything. Yeah,
who
I woke up.
This?
I know. I woke
who
up.
Are you?
And like, well, you think about it, like if you have a day job, you're commuting there, you're working 8 or 9 hour days minimum, and you're coming home. So like 11 hours of my day was driving to work, then working, and driving home. And I'm like, I'm waking up and I'm already at work. I'm going to take some time to like wake up and do things. So I did like 30 minutes of yoga. I made myself a healthy breakfast. You know, I did some stuff like lying on the couch. I was getting some things done, put some laundry in between laundry was, you know, painting dicks and packaging things and like just kind of back and forth. And it just felt so good. Like our lives don't need to be insane. We don't need to just get through the day. We should be enjoying our day every day.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize, you know, that statistic that, bless you, so many people are not doing something they enjoy on a daily basis. And that, you know, the majority of us are living for the nights and weekends. And I just we should not be doing that. That should not be how life is.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just making me feel really grateful that I have the opportunity to, like, just plan my day the way that I want. Like I was able to take a long lunch break and go meet a friend, you know, for food. Like, it's just, it just feels good.
That's
awesome. And I just like, I really want as many people to have that feeling as possible, that they feel happy to wake up and they, you know, they feel like in their flow, you know, and they don't feel like a, you know, a prisoner in their own like body, in their own job or whatever it might be. And I just, anybody listening that's unhappy, there's so many options, and like you can, you can really start to figure out what you want to do and how to make the changes. And seriously, like, I don't know, hit me up if you have questions or advice, or like, you know, you guys have heard my very, you know, being very lost the last couple year and like what I wanted to do and how stand up wasn't making me happy at all. And God, I just like publicly tried so many different things and had to figure out like, oh, maybe I want to be an actor, maybe I want to be a producer, maybe I want to do this. And just like one after, you know, really trial and error, a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Before I got to a place where I'm like, oh, great, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
This feels right.
Well, I love that in that the bonus episode from Phoenix, where we had the ATC festival, that one of the advice questions was like, how do you do that? Like, what are some of the steps? And I loved how you were like, it doesn't have to be so black and white where you're like, I'm at a job I hate, so now I quit, and I'm just going to start looking for what I love to do. It's like, you were so gradual with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you figured out what you wanted to do, and then you started doing both at the same time to the point where like, okay, now this is successful enough where I can leave the other thing.
Exactly.
And I think that's such smart advice that you don't have to like freak yourself out and be like, but how will I make money in this downtime? It's like, well, don't leave your job yet, but start making your other, your plan to jump onto a different boat. You know?
Exactly. And we're gonna have like one of my dream guests on soon to talk about just that, and I cannot wait to have her.
That's so exciting.
Is that scheduled?
We're going back and forth with avails because she's only available like Monday through Thursday, so I don't want to announce it quite yet because it might be a while. But she is going to talk and plug all the stuff because she is like the expert on how to figure out A, what you want to do, and B, how to make a plan to make a living on what you want to do. And so I'm so excited to dive into that with our listeners. And yeah, that's going to be really fun.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that was my good shit. I'm just enjoying kind of the experience. It feels like after 7 years of like grinding every day, like, and not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, that I finally feel like I have some peace, you know, in my head.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You're an inspiration to us and everyone listening.
Oh.
I keep saying
you are
every time.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for the meat?
Let's get into it.
Let's carve me a hearty slice.
Oh my gosh.
Here we go.
I was surprised at first that I think did a couple people request this? It wasn't just the
one? It was one recently, but I mean, there's been some like general talk of it, but this is the first request where like, can you just please do an episode only about this thing?
Yes.
Because we've talked about it here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, it's great. Because especially after reading a little bit about it, 75% of Americans have been in a long distance relationship at some point in their life.
Yeah.
No way.
It's a huge percentage.
I didn't realize
that. And think about it. It could be romantic. It could be familial relationship. I mean, we've all done it. Well, you guys live, you know, you live far away from family, stuff like that. So it's pertinent to everybody. It relates to everybody. So I think it was an excellent suggestion. Thanks, Caitlin.
I know. This statistic I found on mentalfloss.com says that 3.5 million married couples in the U.S. live apart.
Whoa.
Isn't that a lot?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which I'm like, really? Married couples? Not even like couples, not people dating, like married couples.
That blows my mind.
I know of one in my life. But
that are married long distance.
They're married long distance because they own businesses in California and Washington.
Yeah.
And they go back and forth. But other than that, I don't know anybody personally, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I would go as far as to say that when we're on the road, I feel like I'm in a long distance relationship
100%
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that counts.
That does, yeah.
Oh yeah,
totally. And you get military families and stuff like that. Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense.
So if you travel a lot for work, I mean, if you're gone every weekend, if you're gone for a week at a time for business trips or whatever, like, that's so different than that's why I was so happy to hear you say like being away from Cam for one night was hard for you.
Yeah, it sucks,
because it made me feel like, oh, okay, so it's valid that I feel like I almost feel like physically worse just being away from Kyle for so long, like, especially after a while when it hasn't been, like, this week we're apart for 6 days, and it's been a while since we've done that. Yeah. And it's like it really sucks. Yeah. It sucks a lot. Yeah. And it feels like something's missing, and it feels like I just feel like unsteady, and I get really emotional when we're apart. And I thought a lot of it was just that I was gone. But, and you mentioned this, Kelsey, when you were at home and Kane was on the road at one point, you were like, oh, it also sucks being here by myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice because I'm in my own comfortable space, right, and you guys are here and all that. But it's that like ache of just missing the physical presence of the person you're with is like still very much there. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
And especially if you live with that person and you're used to that home having both people in it.
Yeah.
When one person leaves, like Kane and I would talk about all the time that in these last, I mean, it's been probably 6 months or so now, but there were 3 years in a row where our relationship all of a sudden became long distance, mm-hmm, and we were not ready for that. We had not had really much practice with that at all. And I would tell him how hard it was for me because, like, I wasn't home. And he was like, yeah, it's really, really hard for me because, like, I'm just in our apartment alone and it's, like, so empty and quiet. Mm. And I'm used to you being here. And I'm just, he's like, at least you're outgoing and working and, like, you're around, you know, when I was, like, touring with Jim, he's like, you're around Jim, who's, like, a friend, and you get to, like, go do these cool things. I'm literally just, like, home. Yeah. Like, I'm, like, going to work and coming home, and it's really lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough for either person, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm afraid because we just moved in. I mean, we moved in and we were both home for 5 days and then we both left. Or maybe it was a full week. It was like maybe 6 days. I'm afraid because the first 2 months that we're living together, I feel like I'm gone all the time. And I'm afraid Kyle's going to get used to me not being there. This is how I felt with my sisters when I was living with them. And if you guys are listening, I love you very much. And you know this because I've told you. But I felt like they got used to me not being there.
Yeah.
And then when I'd come home, it was a small apartment. So it was almost like an inconvenience.
Dude. That happened with Kane and I too.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
Where he like kind of got used to just living alone, and then you come home and it's like, oh, there's less space now. Or like, I can't just do whatever I want.
Yes, more of that. Where like, I'd come home and be like, can you turn the TV down? And like, like, can you do, like, I would start to micromanage, and he's like, you know, when, like, I love you being home, but frankly, when you're gone, like, there's a lot of stresses that don't happen until you get here, and you're like, on my shit about a lot of stuff that, like, when I'm by myself, I'm just doing my own thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm so scared of. And, and I'm scared that, I mean, I'm going to be taking a lot more time to be home next year, but that's a huge incentive for me to stay strong on that because I just, I don't want to start our lives together that way with him getting into his own routine without me. And then when I come back, it's like, oh, I got to.
Yeah.
Figure out how to, cause like I'm a lot cleaner than him too.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little bit of like, oh, can we pick that up? Can we make sure we do this? And I know that's going to happen when I come back and you know, there's like the bed's not made or like there's no groceries or something. I'm going to be like, okay, well, can we, can we get back up to code here?
To code. Yeah. That's so funny. Like,
have you told him that you're concerned about that?
No, not yet. I'm going to.
I think it might be good to talk about that before it even becomes
an issue. And who knows? Maybe it might not. Because he's like, he's really great and he doesn't, he like never gets annoyed or upset about anything. He's just like very, he was upset about the suitcase thing for me. He wrote an email to the hotel for me.
It
was
oh my gosh.
Are you serious?
So he was like, I really think you should send it. Like, I just, it's annoying that,
that
nobody's helping.
So cute.
I know.
That's so really nice.
I was like, I think he would do a good job of easing your mind that that won't happen.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, make this month at least a little less crazy for you in your head. You
know? I know. I think, again, it's a lot coming off of living with my sisters because it makes sense that they felt that way, but it was a totally different situation because there just wasn't enough room for everybody. Like, it was it's three people in a two-bedroom apartment. Like, it was small. So, yeah, of course, when one less person's there, it's the right amount of people in that apartment. Right. So it wasn't like a, you know, vindictive thing or whatnot. But, it's hard to be... I can only speak from the perspective of someone who's gone all the time, but it's hard to be the person who's gone because you get like weird and isolated. And if you're prone to kind of depressive feelings, it's tough to fight off like those feelings of isolation.
Yeah.
Like even just, I felt that way yesterday of like knowing I was going to be gone. And you get in this, I get like this at least. When you're gone so much, you start to feel like a different person. You start to feel like nobody really cares that much because they're living their lives without you most of the time.
Right.
So you're like, well, if I wasn't here anymore, if I disappeared, then would this even affect anybody that much? Because I'm already gone all the time, which is like not healthy to be thinking like that and kind of a mind fuck.
Because you've got friends like us, and when somebody doesn't show up to podcasts, you knock down a door, and you're like, where are you? So don't worry. The bloodhounds would be out in an hour, so don't worry.
We'll fucking fly to Nebraska to hunt you down.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you lose. I think you definitely establish like a couple identity when you are with somebody all the time, and we talked about it a little bit, but like when you are by yourself in a new place, you lose those reflecting mirrors that remind you who you are, and you kind of have like weird identity issues of like, okay, so how do I make myself feel like me in Ohio or wherever, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do you guys have some tips on like how to help people?
Yeah.
I've got some tips.
So many. I mean, there's like tons. There's a bunch of great lists out there. Top 10 tips to make a long distance relationship work. I'll just rattle these off and then we'll get into some other ones. Prioritize your schedules well. Make sure
keeping each other abreast of your schedules.
Yeah. That's like
huge.
A necessity.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure your goals and potential end games are in the same ballpark. That's interesting. Just even like working on similar goals with each other, even if you're apart. I feel like that's a great way to stay connected. Don't rely solely on technology. So stuff like, you know, giving each other like physical items that remind you of each other, like making, you know, planning those trips and stuff like that. Focus on quality communication. Let the boring details become connection. Totally get that. Where it's like when you're apart, you don't mind hearing what your partner ate for lunch that day. What I mean? Where it's like, I don't really need to know what Cam ate today because whatever. Yeah. We're going to talk about other stuff probably. But like, just even like, what are you eating right now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just those little things. Just like a reminder, like, hey, I'm here.
And the thing that pops up on all of the lists I looked at was the trust thing. And it doesn't seem like it, but even just offering up like, oh, this is all the stuff I did today and then I went to lunch here and maybe this is boring. I mean, I've had to train boyfriends, Kyle included, to be like, hey, like, you gotta, when I ask you how your day was and you're just like, it was good, how was yours, like, that you can't, that doesn't work for me, like, you know, like, I'm details. Not gonna see you tonight, I'm not gonna see you for 4 more days, so like, I and that's like, I've had multiple guys be like, I'm just bored. Like, I didn't do anything. Like, I don't know.
Right.
It's not, I don't want to bore you. I'm like, okay, but part of it is like you offering information. So I know where you were. I know what you did. Like, I don't think.
I don't care about like listening to you. I just want to know that you didn't fuck somebody else.
Well, kind of.
Well, it's interesting because I saw that on one of these lists. The tip is like, make sure you're checking in and not checking up on.
Yes.
That's a big one. Make sure it's not coming from of like, where the fuck have you been kind of situation.
Said, right.
How was your day? Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I totally understand that because if you get like the whole jealous vibe situation, that's just gonna kind of create a shitstorm, I feel like.
But that's the thing, that's the difference between offering and having to like grill somebody to find out, like, if you're like, how was your day, and they're like, fine, you know, this is nothing, how was your day, and then you're like, like, but if they're just
what
like,
are you hiding?
What are you doing? But if they're just like, hey, and your brain gets so messed up when you're far away for a long time. But if they're just like, ah, you know, we had a meeting and then we went to lunch. And even if they're like, I went to a bar and hung out with, even if they were like, I went to a bar and hung out with some girls for 3 hours, I'd be like, oh, you told me. Like,
yeah.
So it's probably nothing. But if you're just like, it's fine, I don't know. I'm like,
who was
that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Was boring?
Yeah. I never, like, I have always trusted Kane. The one thing that I get, like, that way about, I'm like, did you scoop the cat litter? Where I'm, like, trying to make sure that, like, household chores were done and that, like, our cats are doing well. That's, like, where our relationship is at.
Oh, dude, that's so funny. I'll be honest. Like, I prefer not having the boring details. I haven't been in a, I mean, I was in a long-distance relationship in college, but yeah, I don't know, I just like to get down to the meat, really. Like, listen, okay, great, our days were good, okay, let's talk about when you're visiting next and hammer out those details. I like to really get down to business. But I'm also not like a big phone on the phone talker. I'm not a big that I don't mind texting throughout the day, but I'm definitely somebody who can go all day without hearing details about my significant other. I don't know, and sometimes that's gotten me into a little bit of trouble where I have been told, like, do you even give a shit what I'm up to? Like, do you want to talk, do you want to check in? And I'm like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
But you're such a dude.
I have to consciously make an effort. I've even Cam is like the most relaxed person ever, and he's like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe shoot me a text when you're gonna come home this late, you know. I'm like, fuck, you're right. Like, I am really bad about checking in. Like, if we decided, like, hey, we're going to go out to lunch after we podcast and then we stop at a store, I will forget to be like, hey, I'm going to be out a few more hours extra than I had originally told you. I will forget that shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, if that person is like me, never take it personally, because we're just fucking scatterbrained messes.
Right.
But I have to make a conscious effort. Like, oh, I'm going to tell Cam that I'm going to go to the store before I come home, because it might take 45 minutes or extra, and it's 10 o'clock at night, you know?
Yeah.
But preferably I would just like to, let's just get down to what's important, and I'll talk to you when I see you.
Yeah.
See, I think it's just from being gone so much, but like, it, aside from even the trust thing, checking in is super important to me, not because I'm like, I need to know what the hell you're doing. Like, I completely trust Kyle. I don't think he's doing anything, but there's like a closeness that comes from just knowing everything about each other's day. I feel like, at least for me, if I feel like I know everything that happened, or I know all the boring details, it just makes me feel like, oh, we're like best friends. Like, that's why I know everything. I want to know everything because I love you and I'm interested, even if it's boring. And I want us to be on the same page. Yeah. You know, like, I don't like the idea of, like, in a few months being like, oh, did I ever tell you I did this? And I was like, no. Why did you tell me?
I think that's a very normal way to look at it. I don't think I'm maybe the norm.
Yeah.
How I feel about that. That's why I'm chill. Like, I don't, super nobody chill. Should really listen to my advice, because I think it might get you in trouble. But no, I like, and also kind of makes you feel like you experience their day with them a little bit if you're apart, you know? Like,
I love that. Paints a picture.
Yeah. I can picture that sub sandwich you ate for lunch. Yeah. That sounds really good. This one is a really good one, I think. Don't overplan your time in person. Because what if you just want to take a nap with each other, or just like not have anything planned? Maybe you just want to go to dinner and catch up.
Yeah.
Don't plan the concert and then the brunch and then the this. And it's like, then you're just, the intimacy is really built in those, like, those moments where you don't have to do anything, I think. Yeah. And that's, I think that's a issue that you want to make every like trip count when you see each other. So it's gotta be like this this monumental weekend, epic freaking vacation that you're having. And maybe it's like, dude, just, hey, let's just hang out, watch a movie together and cuddle. And
that takes learning what you need too. Like, I have learned that the night before, really the day before I travel again, I'm a mess. Like, I'm very anxious, I'm panicking all day, I'm in my own head, I'm like kind of distant and standoffish. So times that like we've planned to do things and we go out, even if I'm enjoying it, it's like this cloud is just hanging over me. And it's kind of like I had to fly out the night of my birthday, and so like the whole day, like, Kyle made me breakfast and like drove me to my show at night, and then the rest of the day we just hung out and like went for a walk and like watched The Sopranos. And I was like, this was the best day. Like we barely did anything. And I was like, this was exactly what I needed, because if we had tried to like go do something, then it would have been like, even if you'd been like, oh, I planned a specific hike, even that would have been too much.
Yeah.
To just, because I'm already just clenching. And so knowing that, you know, for example, if you are in a relationship with somebody who's on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, and you guys are visiting, you know, don't plan a bunch of stuff for the day you get in. Like, you're gonna be tired from traveling. Just knowing, being realistic about how you're gonna feel.
Totally.
And what you're gonna need.
Yeah. I used to, my boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, used to come up just to like stay the night with me. It's like, will you just like sleep next to me tonight? And then, even though you got to be somewhere, and like, and like he would drive up, we'd do that, and then he'd have to go the next morning. But it's just like, even that makes a big difference, you know.
Kane and I try to like always keep our Sundays for that. It's like the lazy Sunday feel of just like, we wake up and we're just gonna figure out whatever we want to do as the day goes. And some days it's like, we don't leave the apartment, we just watch movies all day. And some days it's like, hey, you want to fucking go mini golf? Let's go mini golf. And it's so much more fun because it's like spontaneous and it's actually what you feel like doing, as opposed to a plan you made 3 days before, but in the moment maybe that doesn't sound good anymore, maybe
that's
you're tired.
Great idea.
So much more fun.
Highly way recommend. Totally. Don't put your life on hold as far as like, if they're not here, I should not be doing things. Totally agree with that. You guys should live your life and do your own stuff, and just like, stay connected as much as possible. Reframe the situation as a positive and believe in it. So the distance is a good thing. It's a positive thing.
I know some people who prefer long distance relationships because they're like, oh, it makes it more special when we actually do see each other. And, you know, the sex is really great because it's like so, you know, some pent up or whatever. And it's like, and I like doing my own thing and I'm very independent. But I don't think everybody is like that.
And I
think both people have to be like that.
Totally.
Absolutely. It has to be two very independent people, or else I think people's feelings can get hurt.
Here it is. Knowing the difference between checking in and checking up on. We talked about that. Let yourself trust and earn that trust yourself.
Nice. One of my big ones that I've learned is that people should really take advantage of the fact that we have like FaceTime and Skype now.
Absolutely.
Because... and even still, now that Kane and I were like, oh, we should do this more often, we'll forget. But like, it makes a huge difference when you can hold the phone and see the person's face talking back at you, as opposed to just hearing their voice. So Kane and I have, you know, like I said, gotten lazy or forgotten, and we'll just like make a quick phone call. But if you can even like schedule a time with your person, be like, hey, what are you doing at like 6 p.m. your time? Because at 9 p.m. my time, I'm free. Can we sit down and actually like have a FaceTime conversation? I mean,
that's great.
That has made me feel so much more fulfilled than just like quick 5 minute phone calls a few times a day.
FaceTime and Skype, oh, that's a game changer. I was using that all the time too in college for, you know, even sexy stuff, you know what I mean? All the technology stuff is on there. There's like so many different ones. Avoid excessive communication. I thought that was interesting. It might be unwise to be like overly sticky and possessive. You two don't really have to communicate 12 hours a day to keep the relationship going. I've seen that. I have like seen people try to overcompensate for not being with each other, and then just not being really anywhere. You're not present with the people that you are with, and then, you know, you guys are on the phone or whatever, but it's like, just be where you are, and then exactly carve out that time that's just specifically for talking to that person.
Yeah, because then it's a burden, like, oh, I gotta go check in.
It can backfire too. It's kind of like quality over quantity. Where Kane and I would just, so many times it would lead to like fights where I'm like, God, this is the exact opposite reason of why we were going to talk. But like, if you just randomly call somebody, and Kane will often pick up even when he can't really talk, because he, like, which is super sweet, but he'll be like talking to me on Bluetooth while he's in the grocery store and I'm trying to tell him something like big that just happened, and maybe I like really need him to pay attention. And then I'm like in the middle of this emotional part, and he's like, yeah, plastic's fine. Babe, hold on 1 second. And then it's like, you know, where you're just like, no, okay, this is not good. I wish that I had just saved what I needed to tell you for 3 hours when like we're gonna sit down and FaceTime this and it's uninterrupted. Because then like I get resentful and I'm like, just never mind. Like, I never mind. I will just talk at a different time. And it's just like, it doesn't need to happen like that. So carve out a time. Don't just feel like you need a walkie talkie with that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think texting's fine to have like a little bit of a, you know, constant flow if you want to have an open text thing. But like, just if you're calling on each other all the time and you're going to pick up when you really shouldn't, it can lead to really sticky situations.
Right. Absolutely. And that's why knowing each other's schedules is so helpful, because you know when they're, you know,
yeah, available
at the show or the wedding or out with their friends or at that meeting. And you could go, okay, I'm not going to hit them up until they tell me they're done, you know?
Right.
And you don't have to freak out. You don't have to go, where are they? Why aren't I hearing from them? Or is something wrong? Are they mad at me? Like, there's no room for any guessing. That's absolutely, that's the important part about knowing about each other. And phone sex, man.
Oh, well, I did Skype sex.
You did Skype sex? Yeah, that's there you for go. Advanced
really
users.
I was 18, so of course I was doing that stuff.
I'm too scared to do Skype
I would
sex
not
because
do it
the
now.
Camera
Dude,
yeah
I told you I think People I've told you guys on this podcast I like sent Cam one thick picture one time, and that shit somehow always stayed on the cloud even though I deleted it over and over.
Was
so I just deleted my cloud.
Was
I just got rid
it?
Of the cloud.
Yeah, Delaney's face. Remember
right, your face was in it, Delaney.
Yeah, we talked about this a long time ago. We were like, dude, no.
I don't trust my shit. I don't trust anything. I don't trust myself with technology is what it is. So I will never be sending those or doing any kind of videos ever. But I was stupid and like 18 at the time. So I was like, yeah, sure. You want to see my boobs? Here they are.
People of Earth, mannequin nudes only. No face.
Never
face.
I was just like, only Cam's gonna see this, and then who knows where it went after it was on the fucking cloud. Who knows where
was
that shit goes.
Was it a good photo?
No, it was just like a dark hotel room in Reno when I was out there for shows. And
when
just
this
like,
podcast blows up, you know, whose nudes are surfacing.
I only take nudes that I'm like, I would be okay if this got leaked.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling myself good.
Because you feel good?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, this looks good. And also, I mean, it. You can't tell it's me. And I could plausible deniability. You
know, sure,
like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I most of them are in hotel rooms.
Yeah, I could lean into it or I could lean out. Like, well, that is my birthmark. Or I'd be like, oh, I don't know that mole, you know? But
I do have that. I was wearing that necklace at that show. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I didn't even think about freckles and birthmarks and stuff. But, like, who's going to?
Yeah.
No one can see.
So funny.
It's fine.
This one, see it as an opportunity, which is kind of the same thing. You know, it's like, treat it as a positive. But there's a couple of good quotables that people have with this one.
Ooh.
If you want to live together, you first need to learn how to live apart. That's anonymous. Okay.
Disagree.
Well, it's like, you know, see it as a learning journey for both of you, like as a test of, you know, the love for each other. There's another saying, you know, real gold is not afraid of the test of fire. Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
sure. That from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Either way, it's like,
what's that?
You know. Oh, this is actually Mordor. Really good. Oh, this is a quote from Glee season 4.
Oh, boy.
I totally agree with
Glee.
Are you going to say it with spirit fingers?
Yeah, right? I would rather be here far from you but feeling really close rather than close to you but feeling really far away.
Oh,
have you ever been? Have you been in a relationship?
We just awed a Glee quote.
I know. That was really good.
But how awful is it to be in a relationship with somebody where they're sitting right next to you and you feel like you don't even know the person or the relationship you're in anymore, and you just feel shitty and alone, and they're right fucking there,
dude. Yeah.
That's a way worse feeling awful. Than being away and missing somebody and feeling so close and connected.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, long That's distance terrible. Fucked Kane and I up for a while because it would be like that. We'd come home and I'd be like, I don't even feel like remotely connected to this person because I'd been apart for so long. And then I would also be leaving again in like 24 to 48 hours. And I just would have defense mechanisms up of like, well, why even get close again? Because it's just going to hurt that much more to leave. So I would just keep him at this like comfortable distance. And it was horrible. It's like truly so fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm dealing with that right now. Like I'm feeling it sucks because I know what's happening. I know what's happening. I get like resentful of how much it's affecting me and the fact that I have to leave again. And like he's gone right now. He's going to come back for like, and then I'm going to see him for literally a day. And then, you know, and then I get in my head where I'm like, well, why can't you change your flight? Like, why can't you just come back? Like, I don't understand. Like, I would do that in that situation. But nobody else has to think ahead like I do or you have had to.
Right.
Being on the road this much where you go, oh, I'm not going to see you for a month. I better figure out days to come back for 20 hours. You know, nobody else thinks that way. So it's tough to keep that in mind and keep the perspective, and then also not let yourself slip into like pulling away, because I'm probably doing that right now, to be honest with you, of just like sure, we can talk if you have time, like just being just really like the walls coming up, and I go, no, I'm giving him space, like I'm letting him do his own thing, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm making myself feel like you don't need that person, because that's what it is. I'm scared of how much I need somebody. And I go, I'm not going to need anybody, because if I need you, then you might not be there. And then I'm going to feel hurt. So I'm just not going to need you. And I'm going to do my own thing. If you're doing your own thing, I'm going to do my own thing. And, you know, if we don't see each other, we don't see each other. But if you're fine with it, I'm fine with it.
It's the worst. Oh, my God. I just can, like, hear so much of, like, old me in that. Yeah. Like, it's not good. Don't be like that.
And I remember when you were there.
Yeah.
You were just like, what's the point?
It's awful. Yeah. And you don't, like, it's so hard to counteract that, though, because it's just it's almost like survival instincts for your, you know, emotions to not get out of, like, super big and then feel hurt when they go. It's like you just minimize everything. You just kind of like suffocate everything so that it's like you don't get too hurt or you don't get too happy.
Yeah.
Right. And you think that's how like the distance can really snowball, where it's like, I'm fine, you're fine, we're fine, you know, but nobody's really fine and nobody's talking about it. So you go like longer and longer without actually trying to connect because of those walls up.
Yeah.
And Kane and I just binge on each other now, because it's almost like years of not seeing each other, and now he can like work from home some days, and it's just the best.
Yeah.
Like, I don't so ever good. I'm never like, oh, I wish I could like have some time away from him. I'm just like, just be around me forever.
Yeah. Oh, just be around me forever.
I love it.
This is a really good one. Set some ground rules to manage your expectations. Like maybe like, yeah, like we were saying, what time are we going to be talking on a daily or weekly basis? What it is. You guys need to be clear with what you expect of each other during this long distance relationship. Some set ground rules so that, you know, none of you will be doing things, blah, 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 blah. Let me see. Basically, so nothing's a surprise. Are you too exclusive? Is it all right for the other person to go on dates? All that kind of stuff. What's the commitment level in the long distance relationship? Obviously, that's not relevant for us right now.
Yeah. Is that a thing people do where they're like, we're in a relationship, but go on dates?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm sure. Where it's like you have
an open relationship.
You have
that's an open relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. You have the love from home, right?
Yeah.
Like if you move away and you have that person, but it's like, this is only really going to work if our paths meet again in the same city type of thing. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Talk How about dirty with each other. That's another good one.
Oh, that
that's
is on good. There.
So important.
I was going to say, how about when, how to figure out if a long distance relationship isn't going to work?
Yeah, oh,
I like how to know.
I did.
Taylor looked
I found
up on some of that.
When to stop trying.
Because
I've had two failed long distance relationships before Kane, neither of which started as long distance, but then became long distance, and they could not sustain the distance.
This one I've done, avoid dangerous situations. So like in college, I remember being at a party, dancing with people, and then ended up dancing with like a guy, friendly dancing.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, oh, he's really attractive. I'm getting some tingles happening. And he's getting a little bit more handsy. And you can tell like if I stay here and I'm intoxicated, something could happen that I could really regret. So I remember leaving the party, like I told him I was going to the bathroom, and I just left the party. Texted my friends like, I'm going home, talk to you tomorrow, kind of thing.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I do not want to wake up having done something awful or just whatever. So I removed myself from that situation. Meanwhile, my boyfriend at the time was having a relationship behind my back. So fuck, I wish I would have made out with that guy now. So attractive. Kind of removing yourself. Like if you know yourself and you know, like, hey, this is going to make things harder. Yeah. It wasn't even like I wouldn't have cheated on him, but it was just making it harder to be tempted, just to even be there
Island.
And feel that and question everything.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you question everything.
Right. Because it's like, oh, why would I be tempted if I was happy? And that's not true. You're in long distance relationships, especially.
Right.
You're just horny because you haven't
in any relationship like I have always forever like not subscribed to the idea that if you're in love with somebody that you're not gonna be attracted to other people.
Well yeah, but tempted to do something.
I still think you could be tempted to do things.
Yeah.
Like I truly feel that way. Maybe it's different from person to person, but like, not that you would act on it, but just like,
totally, it's natural.
It's you're human, like, and I think it's silly to expect that of other people.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think we might be saying this. I don't know. I don't know that that's true for me. I feel like I get being attracted to other people, but
You never had a flirtation with somebody?
When I've been in a relationship, well, sure. Like, occasionally you are like, oh, that person's attractive if I were single, whatever. Right, like, right. I felt that way when I was in a relationship when Kyle asked me out, and I was like, oh, that guy was cute. Like, yeah. But I wasn't like flirting with him. Like,
really?
No, I barely knew him. Like, barely.
But do you not do that because, like, you're just not interested in that? Or for you, is it like a moral thing of like, you feel wrong doing that?
It's a moral thing. I feel wrong doing it. Interesting. And also, I feel like being attracted is totally normal, but like I'm never tempted to do anything because I'm just so aware of how I would feel if that was done to me, and I would feel so guilty if I did it that I know it wouldn't be worth it at all. So I think that's just why I'm
interested.
I've never felt that, and also I want to be with somebody forever, and that's so like, that's so ingrained in me, just in the way I was raised, in the way I've always looked at relationships, that for me, it's like, I want to protect that as much as possible. The only time I have ever been tempted to cheat and almost did was when I was with my ex, and I thought, and I just felt like, I don't know what he's doing ever. Like, he's lied to me about stuff. He probably is still lying. Like, I felt like I didn't know who he was. And I had an opportunity on the road where, and I put myself in the position, like, fully did, like, was at a bar talking to somebody that I still know, I'm still friendly with, that about, like, cheating.
Yeah.
And, like, just could have very well done that.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, not because I'm like this moral person necessarily, but because like I just think I would feel too guilty, so I didn't do anything. But I was like, it was the only time I've ever seriously considered cheating on somebody, and it was in a weird way in my brain. The way I was thinking about it was, I didn't even really want, it wasn't even like, oh, I gotta fuck this guy. It was just like, if I cheat on him, maybe I will stop obsessing about whether or not he's cheated on me or he is.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Because I didn't trust him. And so I think that if you are seriously considering acting on stuff, it's about something deeper. It's about either your own insecurities, or you're not getting something in your relationship, or you don't trust the other person, you're not happy.
Right.
Or a lot of guys cheat because they feel, you know, insecure, or they feel like, you know, they're not, whatever, it's like an emasculating thing or whatever, and they want to feel like, you know. So that was the only time I ever felt like that, where I was just like, I'm gonna do this, and then I will have done the thing I feel like he's done or will do. Mm-hmm. And then if I ever find out, because I just felt like every day I was waiting to find out if he did something,
right?
Which I've never felt like with anybody else, really, to that extent. And so I was like, if I just do this, then I'll know that I did it, and I'll be like, well, we're even in my head, which is so crazy and unhealthy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's a tough one because, you know, I think I'll always find people attractive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know, and then I think it's more of like the novelty isn't there.
Yeah.
Anymore with your, even though you love the person you're with, the novelty and like they're, they don't look at you anymore like it's the first time they're looking at you. Like that stuff doesn't really kind of, you know, maybe if certain date nights when you get all dressed up and it's like, you know, but it's like, yeah, I think it's like that novelty from, you know, in the beginning where you're like learning everything about each other and everything. I was like,
yeah, you're so new, shiny and new.
Yeah. So it's like trying to keep that alive with you know,
totally
your current
situation.
Absolutely. Another one we didn't talk about is doing similar things at the same time. Like if you're reading the same book as the person, so you guys can like talk about that and connect on that.
What a great idea. Watching the same,
let's both watch this movie tonight and talk about it tomorrow. Like that's a really great thing to just like keep things in common.
Yeah.
And
to
discuss if you're in a distance relationship of any kind.
Book club.
Yeah. Book club. Exactly.
And Tate, you're going to talk about things.
Yeah. Okay. Things. How to know you shouldn't when keep going. When they're not helping to make it work, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
When they're not
looking
into, this is an article on Bustle, and it's saying if they're not willing to put in the work, then there's no point. Kelsey said this multiple times about any relationship, that like I'm down to stay with anybody who's willing to work on things. And if they're not, you're trapping yourself in something. Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge. When it's all long distance, like long distance is a lot easier if you get the weekend together on a regular basis. But if you go months and months without seeing each other, just be honest about how that feels. Because you do need that physical time together.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see that movie Going the Distance with Drew Barrymore and Justin Long when I think they were dating still?
Oh, no.
It's a movie about two people in a long distance relationship trying to make it work. And it's really cute and funny. And if you're in a long distance relationship, I would recommend watching that because it deals with all the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, like you can't have a relationship on the phone. You can't see each other twice a year forever. Like my best friend was she met a guy 5 months before she went to the Peace Corps. And was like, we'll probably break up. They stayed together the whole time she's in the Peace Corps.
Is that like a 2-year program?
2-year thing. She was was there just under 2 years. But he would come out and they'd go on trips.
Wow.
So I think he came out in that time. They saw each other maybe 3 times.
Wow.
So it's still not that much.
My
But it wasn't forever.
Yeah,
It wasn't like this is going to be how it is.
Right.
So, I mean, I still don't know how they made it work. I think that's so amazing.
Wow.
But like, you got to have an end point. And if there's no end point, if it's just like every other week, you're like, so have you thought about maybe you getting a job here? Like,
dude,
that's not going to work.
Yeah. End point. Oh, great advice. Man. You need that.
When you don't have a strong foundation. Yeah. Relationships that already have a solid foundation have a greater likelihood of weathering distance and time.
Yeah.
Which is,
100%.
You can't start in a long distance relationship. Yeah.
So much harder. So
maybe
much
you can't. I don't know. Would you think it might be helpful if you start there?
It's almost like a bell curve. You have to start right into long distance and that's like all you know, or you have to have like a long foundation and then get into it. But if you're just like somewhere in the middle, it's really hard.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Like if you haven't even like talked about what the relationship is yet and people move away, that's really tough. I had no foundation in that long 4.5-year relationship. Mm-hmm. Zero foundation. So we were fucking doomed. From the get-go. And we were only living an hour and a half away from each other. It wasn't even like real distance.
Dude,
was
mine with the ex with borderline. It was like foundation super rocky. And then at the point where like he just was like, I just don't want to come see you this week.
Yeah.
Literally nothing else going on. Just was like, I just don't want to make that drive. And like, you're just not like worth it.
Yeah.
Basically is what that boiled down to. I was like, you're not worth it. And I was like, okay, well.
Cool.
Bye.
Because
this is too painful and can't do that. You know, can't be with somebody who's not going to put in that same amount.
Oh, I just realized one of my best friends has been living apart from her husband because he's been in the military and she's been out here. And finally, after years of being together, he's going to be moving back here. Like he's done.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, that's another, I've realized, maybe it's more common than we realize that people are like living apart and, you know, make it work. But
Or traveling. Yeah. Traveling a bunch is the same as living apart, I think. I mean, in terms of how tough it is. But you have to be with somebody who's going to approach it the same way and is going to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
Because if only one of you is going, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, fly over. If only one of you is flying to the other one, that's not a relationship. That's you sacrificing a lot of time and money for somebody who isn't willing to put in the same for you. So you have to find somebody who thinks it's just as worth it.
Yeah.
When it's eating up your life, like if you're just spending your nights waiting for FaceTime or Skype calls, you know, like you're not developing hobbies and interests,
not being present.
And if you're staying for the wrong reason, like, because if you just really are committing and you're like, I can't leave, like it's supposed to be hard, you know it doesn't always have to be hard. Mm-hmm. Like if you know Delaney told me this when I was in a bad relationship, she's like, it doesn't have to be this hard. Like there's so many people, and if it's harder than it is beneficial to you, just get out and maybe just be friends, or say like maybe somewhere down the road if we're closer.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. When you're feeling too tempted, there's an expert that says couples in long distance relationships need to ask themselves, is each person able to control issues of jealousy, anger, and resentment, especially as the other person builds new friendships and relationships in their new home? If you haven't agreed to an open relationship, a wandering eye can be a sign that your long distance relationship isn't working. If you feel really tempted to cheat emotionally or physically, it's time to admit that it's just not working. See, mm-hmm. that's what I was saying earlier. Is like, if you really feel like I'm tempted to do something, not
right,
I'm tempted in the way of like, oh, this person's really hot. If I were single, I would do something. I get that. That's totally natural. But if you're like making plans in your head of like, all right, how can I get this person by themselves? How can we
be
in the same place? Like, yeah. that's, you know,
yeah,
you know, that's bad.
Yeah.
News.
Distance flip flops everything, because not only are you like away from that person that you are usually getting like your affection from and your mm-hmm. love from, but now like you are around a lot of other people that you wouldn't be.
Yes.
So for me, I know like me being at home versus me being on the road, both things switch. Because mm-hmm. when I'm home, not only do I get to like be with Kane every day, but I don't really see other people that yeah. much. Like, yeah. I mean, we go out and have like local shows, I guess. Yeah. But like if I'm on the road, it's like not only is Kane not there, but then like you're around all these other people that you normally wouldn't ever see or right. be like, oh, like that's a hot person. You just wouldn't. Like yeah. I've talked yeah. about it with friends of mine. I remember in Seattle, I worked with one of my friends who her husband was also she had the same job as she did. They would both go to their jobs and then they would come back home. And it was like literally there was no like social situations ever. So, mm-hmm. and she just worked with a bunch of like dudes in their 60s. So yeah. she literally, there are so many situations in life where there isn't even temptation to be had.
Right.
Like, yes. You're not being put out in it. But right. if you're a performer and like all you do is yeah. travel and like be on the road. And also when you're performing, like you're the star of the night or whatever. Mm. Like you're the person that people are like, oh, like you were just on stage, blah, blah, blah. It's very, very unusual.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like a very different situation than most people are in, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's no wonder like so many male comics cheat, because they don't have the same fears that we have of being murdered.
Right.
So like, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I go back to this lady's
Dude,
place?
They're like king for the night.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But that's part of why it's so important to me to trust who I'm with, because I'm always gone and I know how easy it would be for me to cheat. Cause yeah, I just, right. I'm like, it'd be so easy. I'm in right. the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You don't know. Like you. And so I'm like, well, that just makes me think, well, I don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's tough, but they're in a situation where they're at home. They're in the home that we created together.
Right.
So you would hope that that would be more like, if I were home, I think I would be less worried about becoming that type of person.
Right.
Because just being on the road with all these guys were like, yeah, you know, you're just on the road and you're just out here and you feel like you're kind of in the middle of nowhere floating around. And I've definitely felt like that on a different level of just like, I don't even know who I am out here. Like, I don't yeah. feel like this exists. When yeah. I go home, nobody's gonna get it. Feeling like nobody gets it. I feel like people cheat when they feel like their partners don't get them.
Oh yeah, they lose that connection.
And that's what I worry about, because sometimes I feel like that, and it's not anybody I'm with's fault. It's just like, this is a weird relationship, this weird career to have for me
yeah.
and to be with somebody who's doing this. So for me, it's like, you know, I feel so strongly that like I would never do anything like that, because my like,
yeah, your moral compass.
Yeah, your moral compass and your just yeah. your guilt.
Yeah.
And it's like not even an option for me.
Right.
But the way that I've come to that is like, oh, it cannot be an option. Bert Kreischer has a joke about this, where he used to do a joke where he talks about like, or he talks about it in the Machine story, where he said like, I made a decision, I don't cheat on my wife. Like, he's like, I remember the day I made it. I woke up. We were all hanging out in bed with my kids and the dog. And I said, this is awesome. I never want to ruin this.
Oh, mm-hmm. that's cool.
And he's yeah. like, so I never do. So if there's ever a situation on the road, I'm just like, I don't cheat on my wife. And I leave. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you have to do. It just yeah. has to be not even an option in your mind. So when you start to feel like you were talking about, you start yeah. to feel like, oh, I'm kind of attracted. You go, I'm not even going
exactly.
to not even gonna be here for it to even get to that point right. of like,
yeah, the maybe consequences are not worth it.
No.
Ever. Yeah.
No.
I mean, unless you're in like a shitty relationship, then maybe it is.
Right.
Yeah.
right.
Maybe time
to. Do what
to.
You gotta do.
Yeah. but yeah, right. I mean, I see it happen with Kane too, where Kane will be on the road and he'll call me and be like, yeah, I had like this bachelorette party, like wanted me to go out with them afterward. And then when he and I have been on the road together, we'll have like couples come up to us and ask if like we want to like swing with them.
Holy shit.
Like, so I... Yeah. it's not just that like I'm out on the road and can see the difference. Like I see it happen with Kane too, because yeah, then totally. Kane will go out and be the one in the spotlight and like, yeah. Dude, I mean, that's how I felt for Kane. Yeah. You know, it's like, I know when I see, even if I'm around, if I'm like not performing on that show and I see like the way girls talk to him in the merch line, I'm like, oh, yep. They felt what I felt, you know,
yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Oof. Oh my gosh. Wait,
I think we're done. Yeah,
I know. I'm like, I could say something.
Do
so
we
much
have
more.
That advice question that you want to play from, I believe, one of our
do we have time?
Patrons? I think so. Yeah.
It can be a super long episode if you want.
It's been a few. Yeah, we have some time. It's been a few episodes since we've been able to do that. And he submitted that about a month ago, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's just like, have a good foundation, set the ground rules, know your expectations for the distance, the relationship, and stick to it and have like common goals and common interests. And just also sending like physical gifts can be fun. Yeah. Like I always thought it was like, I'm not really a gift person, like in my daily relationship. But like if we were away more, I think that would be just like sweet and thoughtful, like little surprises.
Yeah.
Like, that's nice. That even if nice. It could be like really something small. Just like, hey, thinking about you, you know, here's a physical thing that you can like put up and like, remind you that I give a shit.
My mom, this was probably a couple years after the divorce, but my brother and I would have to go on these like 2 week long summer vacations with my dad. And we, you know, I love my dad, but like we would dread it in a lot of ways because we didn't want to be away from our mom. And my mom would pack my brother and I like 14 little gifts.
Oh my god!
In our suitcases, just like little trinkets, and that we would open one each day, and
that's so, nice.
So it was like
sweet.
Yeah, superstar mom.
That
sure.
is so sweet.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
just like even like if I was away from Cam, I know that like I could send him like a package of gummy bears, and it would make his day.
Right.
You know, just, just the little things.
Yeah.
So like, nice. Just making a little extra effort.
All right, I'm going to play this real quick. Make sure
perfect
we can hear it.
Okay.
Is this... Do I have to put it on
speaker? And if you join patreon.com/selfhelpless, you'll get the opportunity to ask your advice questions on the show as well.
Yeah.
The app is like...
Is it wigging out?
Turning off when I try to put it on speaker.
I'll just edit it off.
What's happening? Serena.
Oh, weird.
This is weird.
Huh.
This is, we can edit this out, right? Just this dead patch.
Of course.
Okay, it's playing.
Michael,
is this loud enough?
Yeah,
I think you put it in the mic.
Microphone.
Okay, cool.
Should we play it? All
right. Hey, Taylor, hey, Kelsey. Hey, Delaney, it's Michael. I'm halfway. You had given me this number earlier this week when I had commented on your Patreon. Getting to ask a question, and sorry, I'm getting this to you late. It's been a heck of a week.
It's okay.
I tried to think of a funny question, and I just kind of drew a blank. So I guess I just asked kind of a relevant one. So hopefully it's good. kind of wondering what you guys do when you don't really know kind of where to go next in your career, like professionally. What the right next step is, or how to find it, even sometimes. You know, I've already had a pretty long career myself, but I'm kind of stuck in a bubble at the moment, just having a heck of a time trying to figure out where to go from where I currently am, which is not where I need to be. You know, it's a good job, you know, pretty good money, and great benefits, and all that, but it's not where I need to be. And you know, I obviously wish I could have pursued comedy, but I just don't have the opportunity to do that, the ability really rather. Just kind of wondering what you guys do when you're kind of feeling like that. So thanks for letting me call, and you know, I hope all is well, and you know, thank you guys for everything. Appreciate it.
Okay, I love him. Nice, he Michael. Sounds like such a nice person.
That's so nice.
Thank you, Michael.
Home Halfway is his Twitter.
Yeah, his Twitter.
Oh my gosh, that's what he said. He's the nicest.
So
he,
sweet. So nice.
Dude, we've been Twitter friends for like years.
Well, he has
he's so sweet.
Zillion Twitter followers, and he like retweets me a lot, and it's just, he's so nice.
He's so nice, and my God, that is such a good question. We were kind of talking about that earlier, but like, What to do when you're feeling stuck in your current career. This is hitting home real big time because this, has been my whole life for a long time, like years I've been trying to figure out. So, Michael, the answer is do something. You have to take action. You have to do something. Yeah. Whether it is like if you have, like you said, you want to pursue comedy, start something. Like you're funny on Twitter. You got all these things.
He's so funny on Twitter.
Yeah.
I retweet him all the time too. Yeah. We're like retweet buddies.
He's got a big Twitter.
You are pursuing comedy. Like in my mind, okay, so if you are like, again, if you have this day job that, you know, you want to keep for the benefits and the pay right now, start a blog, start going to open mics, whatever it is that you're wanting to do in the comedy world, just start something. And I promise you, the clarity will come after the action. And even if you start something and you're like, this sucks, I don't like it, good, you're figuring it out.
Yeah.
You're figuring out what you
don't
like.
Trial and error.
Exactly. I never saw anything that I tried that I was like, oh, this isn't for me. I never saw it as like a failure or like I failed at something. It was like, thank God, I'm one step closer to figuring out what I want to do. You know, like, okay, don't want to do this. Oh God, you know, hopefully there's not going to be too many more of these things where I'm like, you know, but just you have to do something. Join a class or a group or start writing something. I mean, just anything. You just can't keep doing what you're doing. That's the only thing that needs to change.
Yeah.
You know?
I also really recommend The Artist Way. I know we've talked a bunch about The Artist Way, but that's so good at helping get you on track. And like, there's an exercise that I love doing where it's like, in a perfect world, I am this. And you write out what you want to be. Yeah. And it asks you what like your true north is, and basically that's saying like, what's the thing that would indicate to you that you made it, that you were successful in what you wanted to do, like one thing. And then it asks you, what is something you can do today to move toward that? What's something you can do in the next week? What's something in the next month, in the next year? And it's like, it basically breaks it down for you so that you can continue to move toward it and not feel so overwhelmed that you like don't do anything.
Yes.
I know that that's really easy to be like, well, I want this, but it's so far away and I don't know how to start. Just like daily steps. So I cannot recommend The Artist Way enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. Dude, sometimes I took 6 months to build Dicks by Delaney as far as like all the things I wanted to do for it. And some days I would wake up and I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted. I have to go to my day job all day. What little thing can I do? So maybe just that day I would research where I was going to buy my business cards eventually.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all I was able to do for that long-term goal that day.
And then something.
You know? And then the next day, oh, I'm going to design them today. You know? Yeah. Like, and I just keep going. But yeah, start The Artist Way. So freaking good.
Yeah.
So good. Taylor.
And it's crazy what kind of opportunities come when you just trust yourself to take the leap
and
give leap yourself and the net will appear
and just give yourself the time to receive those opportunities. I mean,
absolutely.
When I don't have much to compare to because I've never had a real job, but when I was in college and I was, you know, kind of deciding whether or not to, I didn't like decide to drop out of college and pursue comedy. I took time off until I had too much work to go back. And then, and even when I quit, I was like, well, maybe next year I have to go back, you know?
Yes.
So it's fine if you do it in baby steps. You don't have to just go fuck it and like kind of jump off a cliff and go, hey, whatever happened. It's like you can kind of climb down to the next little ledge and be like, okay, that went all right. And then you climb down to the next one and you go, well, that seems all right. And you can always climb back up and it's fine. So just like, I think the advice you two gave was so spot on.
That is so good what you just said, because I've been really deep diving into a lot of podcasts right now just like about this very topic, because I just made the leap and I'm like, I'm still not fully, I mean, I'm still at my day job a couple days a week and to train my replacements and stuff, but somebody was talking about how like nobody just drops out. Nobody just drops out of school or whatever, obviously, in the
Kanye.
Context. In the context of pursuing something else.
Yeah.
Like, even you talk about, like, Bill Gates and all those people, Mark Zuckerberg. It's Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to take a semester off, see where this goes, and then I'm going to come back to school. That was, like, the plan, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, it takes off and you don't go back. Or, like, I think Bill Gates did go back, you know?
Oh.
Like, when shit wasn't working out, he went back to school.
Oh, interesting.
So it's, like, it's one of those things where I think you hear very, very small percentage of people just go exactly like, fuck it, I'll figure it out. Yeah. There's usually...
I'm moving to LA with $19. And yeah. you're like, that's how it works?
Right.
No.
Like,
no.
There's a buildup. There's usually a plan. I mean, some people do say fuck it and do it, and that works out. But, like, if you want to try to set yourself up to the best of your ability for success, you're going to maybe strategically start small and kind of build up to it. Like, even Cam moving to LA, he, like, saved up a bunch of money at a job, knowing that he was needed to save up money to come to LA to be able to like live off that money until he could find a job, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like I'm leaving, you know. Yeah. But yeah, so good. Do something, keep us updated. Yeah. And you can pursue comedy. Your voicemail said something like you don't have the ability or whatever to do that right now. You do. So
yeah,
a lot of
it, you think you're not funny. I didn't get the ability. I was like, are you
in? Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Maybe
yeah.
the energy or the time or whatever. You do, you have it. And a lot of taking the leap and figuring out what you want to do is getting rid of all those mental blocks.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That is like half the battle. To actually doing the work is getting rid of the I can't do this or I shouldn't do this or I don't have time. You do, and you can do it, and you can do it from your home right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like make a YouTube channel, do something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for writing in, Michael. Awesome.
So
and thanks
great.
For thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah.
This was really a fun long one.
Yeah. Yeah. Super good.
Super good. As always, please go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, yes. review. We read all of them. They're so helpful, and it keeps us on the charts, and it really just makes all our dreams come
yeah.
true.
So. It is so helpful if you give us a review. It takes like a second of your time.
Yeah.
And just 5 stars submit, or if you want to leave a sentence or two. And just telling people about the podcast is huge.
Yeah.
Telling one, if everybody told one person, our listenership would grow.
Oh yeah,
immensely.
If I you love just it told when one they person put it on two Instagram.
People, yeah, you screenshot oh, and put yeah. on social media. Like word of mouth. I mean, we see how people are hearing about the podcast and the Facebook group and everything. And so the majority is like, my best friend told me to listen. My mom told me to listen. We yeah. love that you guys are telling people
spreading
about it,
word.
And that's like the best. That's the best form of marketing is word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah. And when you leave an iTunes review, you get entered to get a free T-shirt
yes,
from our Patreon.
True. On Patreon, yeah. every episode we read a review and send a free T-shirt. So.
Yeah, patreon.com/selfhelpless
yeah.
for bonus episodes and prizes. So go check it out.
Love it. Do you guys want to plug any dates of yours or anything like that?
When does this come out?
The 26th, I believe.
The 26th. I got some stuff.
Coolio. I'll just plug mine while you guys are getting yours up. Yeah, DicksByDelaney.com. Thank you to everybody who's ordering stuff. Mugs and shot glasses and salt and pepper shakers. If you want to order stuff for the holidays, I'm like dickifying whole families and stuff right now.
Oh,
it's like
amazing.
Really fun. People are ordering it for... white elephant exchanges, like all those like funny kind of like holiday situations. So if you want to get some of those, and if you want them to be custom, custom orders ship within 5 to 7 business days. So definitely get your like your holiday orders in like as soon as possible so you can get them in time for all the holiday parties that you're going to be going to.
Awesome.
Yay.
I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram and at Kelsey Cook on Twitter. My website is kelseycook.com. There's another Wrists of Fury episode out, so go
Sweet.
Check it out. My foosball web series with all things comedy, and I will be with John Heffron at the Oxnard Levity Live December 6th through 9th. So
Woo.
You can come see us there if you want.
Sweet deal.
And then I, Taylor, will be at,
Hi, Taylor.
I know, I get scared people don't know my voice. I almost feel like I'm like, should I make it huskier or something? Taylor will be. I'll be at the Chicago Improv December 13th through the 16th, and then I will be at Comedy Works Denver South at the Landmark. They have two. I'm at the one that is not downtown, and I'll be there the 28th through the 31st. So, and there are 3 shows on New Year's Eve.
Ooh, Lord.
Ooh, long night. So come out to those.
Awesome.
Oh, Delaney at Delaney Fisher. Also, you guys know this shit.
Yeah. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.